Zinc 102.7 Cairns, one station, all the rock legends, 20 minutes away from 9 on your Monday, heading for a top of 29 degrees. Very special guest in the studio, a guy who contacted me a couple of weeks ago, Mike Laird. He has cycled from Melbourne to Corumba. G'day, Mike. How you doing?
I'm extremely well. Thanks for having me here.
Now, I'm just sort of getting to know you a bit and realise you're a bit of a crazy man.
Yes.
This is a spur of the moment whim thing you did. Tell us, what was the impetus between for this trek to go from Melbourne up to Corumba?
Someone stupidly bought me a book which put a notion into my head, which was The Digtree by Murgatroyd.
Okay.
And I only need a little flicker of an idea in my head, and then it grows, and then all of a sudden I've got to ask the wife, do you mind if I
leave the country for a while? Because you guys are from south of London.
We are, yeah.
So you've flown over here with your bicycle, determined to do this trek, because someone bought you a book on The Digtree.
Well, it's slightly even crazier than that, because I'm not really a cyclist at home, and I actually bought the bike in Melbourne.
Okay, right.
So the furthest I ride at home is to the shops.
Okay.
Right. So you're an amateur at it?
Pretty much.
Oh, goodness.
So, and this trek, you sort of pretty much followed Burke and Wills's route. Is that right?
I followed it as best I could, but by the time I got across the border from New South Wales into southwestern Queensland, and my aim was to go into northern South Australia, it was pretty flooded around Innamenka, etc. You know, huge waters coming down through the Channel country, and I had to divert east several hundred kilometres to pick up a new route.
Okay.
Did you actually get to the Digtree?
No, I couldn't. It was under 8 metres of water at the time.
Oh, no! So after all that time and all that cycling, it was under 8 metres of water.
Well, there you go. You know, expeditions don't always follow the plans that you lay down.
That's just ask Burke and Wills.
Yeah.
What an amazing trek. How long did it take you to ride?
It took me 25 days in the saddle, 32 days in total, because I had some lazy days, days for repairs, and days just seeing some nice things rather than rushing through.
Okay.
Hardest part, I know, you know, maybe your butt bones are a little bit sore from the seat, but what was the hardest thing about riding?
I suppose the hardest thing was, well, there were three, really. One would be the monotony, just of churning more and more sand, dirt, or bitumen. Loneliness.
Yeah.
Quite hard being away from the wife, and I've lost feeling in my hands.
Really?
Through the pressure of being on handlebars all the time. So I've got no feeling in the little fingers on both hands.
Will that come back, or is that gone for good?
I'll wait and see a neurologist when I go home, and
okay.
Fingers crossed it'll be okay.
But not that finger, because you can't feel anything.
Exactly.
So, do you have, though, a tan line for where your bike shorts were?
I have quite a ridiculous tan line, really. I've got the typical pom tan line of socks and shoes. Then further up, I look like a zebra crossing, you know? Further up, I've got my cycle shorts, and then I've got the T-shirt marks.
I love it.
And when you were cycling, did you have a song? You know how you get songs stuck in your head sometimes? Mm. There is a particular song on your trek that you just kept singing over and over, like that earworm, it gets in and you can't get it out?
Well, I'm not much of a techie, but for the first time ever, I got an MP3 player at the wife's suggestion.
Okay.
And put well done, wife.
And Rachel said to me, she said, go on, put on a couple of hundred of your favourite songs. And there was all sorts of stuff in there, stuff from our wedding.
Yep.
I'm stuck in the 80s myself, so 80s rock music, Deep Purple, stuff like that.
Nice.
Rock on!
Nice. Love it.
That is amazing. But you're just telling us before we got on air, there's other crazy stuff you've done too. As you were saying just before, you know, you get a flicker of an idea. Was something about you sort of decided to become a war correspondent once?
Yeah, I decided that I wanted to go over to Afghanistan, and I applied to the British MOD to be a freelance war photographer.
Okay.
And they declined me, so what I did was I flew into Pakistan, made my way through the Khyber Pass, and turned up at a military base waving a passport saying hello.
And there was another bit. What was the other bit that we were just talking about as well that you and a mate had?
Oh, I set up a charity in the northwestern Sahara as a result of a bet with a friend. In 2006, I had a spare week's holiday, and he bet me that I couldn't drive to the Sahara and back in my saloon. So I got down there, six speeding offences later, and met the Minister of Health in Morocco, and one thing led to another, and we've set up a charity, and we now do projects in Morocco and Senegal.
Okay, wow. What's your charity called?
It's called MarocAroundTheClock.org.
Okay, and what are you raising money for?
We raise money for water, sanitation, schools, dentistry, general education, health and wellbeing.
Okay. Is that your day job?
No, that's a spare time job.
Okay, well, what's your day? Do you have a day job, Mike?
Yeah, you're going to laugh at this. I'm a risk manager for an insurance company.
Are you really? Well, I guess you'd know the risk better than most then.
Indeed, yeah. I don't always pay heed to them.
This is like Along Came Polly. I don't know if you've seen the movie, but that's what Ben Stiller's character was. And so I guess the question for you, Mike, is what crazy thing is next?
Well, My wife and I have decided that we need to sort of, still our first year of marriage, so
okay.
I'm not taking another totally stupid notion until Iraq, but I'll tell you about that in a moment.
Okay.
But Rachel and I want to spend 3 months out together, and it's going to be in Oz.
Okay, cool.
Oh, nice.
So you're going to travel around?
Yeah, we've got to go back home, fill the bank accounts back up a little bit,
yep.
And sort out the house and then come back out.
Okay, and what mode of transport will we be using to go around Australia?
We want something like a four-wheel drive camper.
Okay, oh, okay, good idea.
Okay, right.
That's not a tandem.
I don't think Rachel's legs would really be enjoying the biking.
Rachel, his wife, is actually in the studio and her eyes are like, no, we're not on a bike this time. Do you normally go on the expeditions? Does she go on the expeditions with you?
Rachel's been with me on several trips. She's been out with me on the charitable trips out to North Africa.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
But not on the bike?
Not on the bike.
No.
Great. It's an absolute pleasure to meet you, Mike, and you too, Rachel. I'm glad you enjoy Australia so much, and well done for your bike ride and all the other crazy stuff you guys get up to, and good luck travelling around Oz when you get back here.
Thank you very
Keep
much.
Keep in touch as well, especially with your crazy ideas.
Let
Love
us know.
To. Thanks.
All right, here's what you should have done. This is Shannon Nolan Drive. It's a much easier way of getting around than a bicycle. 14 minutes away from 9, you are with Dave and Inky on Sync. I got a car.